listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by Matt Brodsky. He is the director of policy for the Jewish Policy Center. He also edits that organization's journal, In Focus, quarterly. He writes frequently there and elsewhere, and he joins us periodically to discuss matters of interest, particularly to an area that he's deeply knowledgeable about, the Middle East. Matt Brodsky, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It's great to have you with us.
Good to be with you again.
Matt, I'd like to talk with you first and foremost about something that is happening, I think probably unexpectedly for most of us, namely evidence of real opposition emerging in Turkey, some of it now being fairly violently expressed in the streets of not only Istanbul but other cities there, towards the Islamist agenda of the Prime Minister and would-be President Tayyip Erdogan. Tell us about what's going on there at the moment and where you think it's likely to lead.
Well, over the weekend, there have been hundreds of people injured, almost 2,000 detained, and then the demonstrations have spread to almost half of Turkey's 81 provinces. And this comes as a result of many things. There's the social aspect, which is, you know, they're putting restrictions on alcohol and social issues there as the AKP party has been really trying to move in an Islamist direction after their 10 years in power. This has been a continuing effort on their part, and there are much broader secular elements within Turkish society that flatly reject that type of move. And that would be on the social dimension. On the foreign policy dimension, from that perspective, there's also just been a failure of Turkish policy in the region as it has sought to rehabilitate itself and to become a much greater leader when it comes to any diplomatic activity.
We're joined once again by Matt Brodsky. He is the director for policy at the Jewish Policy Center. And Matt, you were giving us a quick course on what is causing the uprisings, if I may call them that, in Turkey at the moment. Domestic concerns about increasing Islamization are evidently part of it. But you were talking a little bit about upset about some of the foreign policy agenda of the Erdogan regime. Specifically, talk a little bit, if you would, about the efforts that Erdogan had been making to improve relations with Iran. Where does that stand at the moment? And should that be of concern to us as well as the Turks?
Well, they began with a policy of having no enemies, and they've tried to go toward Iran. Iran, they're in basically a state of competition with each other, and they've really not pleased anyone when it comes to their foreign policy in the region. It's agitating, the southern Turkey residents, the local residents, many of whom are Syrian Alawis, when it comes to how they approach the Syrian conflict. The Obama administration had actually tried to improve Turkey's standing by outsourcing American policy, hoping that Turkey on a number of levels could prove to be a United States asset when it comes to dealing with Iran, when it comes to dealing with Syria and a whole host of regional issues. And that has just proved to be a failure on many counts. And in fact, Turkey looks weak as a result of its response to a host of issues.
Well, and let's talk specifically about one of those. As you say, the Obama administration has kind of been looking at Turkey as a helpmate, if not as a proxy, as a model for what we should be encouraging to emerge in the Middle East as an Islamist democracy. But what's going on at the moment with respect specifically to the most serious festering sore at the moment, I guess, namely Turkey's neighbor, Syria? What role is it playing there? And how is the crisis that has been afflicting the people of Syria for some time unfolding at the moment, as you see it, Matt Brodsky?
Well, Syria has been far more bold toward Turkey in the recent year, I would say. It's first of all, there were two car bombs that went off on May 11th in Turkey, and this had to have been done by by Syria and the regime. There are a host of other things, such as the June 2012 incident where Syria shot down a Turkish fighter that they claim was in international airspace. Now, in all of these incidents, Turkey has yet to do anything militarily. They've just reacted verbally. So they've looked weak when they request to have Patriot missiles for their defense. When you look at that type of reaction versus the more strong horse reaction of, say, Israel, when it sees its interests or its red line crossed, they've had, you know, missile strikes that have taken out weapons caches that were set for transfer to Hezbollah. So in Turkey, what the government has done by supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, those forces in the Syrian opposition, it really has not been taken too seriously, and it's looked weak as far as requesting outside assistance to take care of things. In other words, if the United States was thinking that it could look to Turkey and have them carry American water in the region, it's not worked out, and Turkey is in a much weaker position today in the region than it was previously.
Interesting. Speaking of Hezbollah, Matt Brodsky, one of the things that has been happening in neighboring Syria is, of course, the greater and greater role being played by this Iranian proxy. Speaking of proxies, we have been told over the weekend by a number of folks that it looks at the moment as though the infusion of Iranian arms and Russian arms and Hezbollah fighters is giving rise now to a second wind for Bashar Assad's regime. Is that your assessment as well? And if so, what does that portend for the crisis there?
This is absolutely the case. It's a confluence of things. First of all, Hezbollah is now very deeply entrenched. They've all but declared war on the opposition. So they are there 100% working with the Syrian regime. You have the Russian arms sales, which up until now had been focused mostly on making sure that outside powers do not get involved, such as the sale of the S-300 SAM systems, the previous SA-17s that were supplied before that Israel is thought to have destroyed in January. So from this perspective, you have all of America's enemies, so to speak, in the theater in Syria, with Iran providing Fatah 110 missiles, offensive capabilities, and the opposition is not getting enough weapons to stand and fight. So there are major battles happening. One that's gone on for weeks in Al-Qusayr is very important as to where it's located geographically between the Alawite in which is where the regime hails from, in western Syria and Lebanon. It's an important place for transferring weapons from Iran and Syria to Hezbollah and from Russia, as we've seen. So the tide of the battle is certainly working toward Assad's favor. And this is unfortunate, especially with the Geneva II summit that was worked out between Russia and the United States. That's supposed to be some summit that's destined to fail in the future. But that's later this month, and it's, you would like to not go into negotiations with the Assad regime making major gains. It emboldens him.
Yeah. Matt, we have less than a minute. Do you anticipate that Senator McCain will get his way and that we will wind up coming to the aid of those he insists are fighting for freedom among the opposition? And should we?
It's difficult to say. The Obama administration seems extremely reticent to supply any form of weapons. But at the same time, it seems as though this Geneva II little conference that they're going to have is supposed to be a moment at which if something can't be worked out, then the administration would be more amenable to it. If there are, in fact, well-vetted groups and the Syrian opposition who are secular, then those are people that the United States has an interest in supporting.
Yeah, the question is if, and unfortunately at that we're going to have to leave it to Matt Brodsky of the Jewish Policy Center. This is a subject I know you're following closely, and we will be continuing to do so as well. I hope you'll join us again very soon. Next up, Peter Pride with the latest developments on the electromagnetic pulse threat, something that I'm happy to say the people of Maine are taking the lead in. Straight up.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.